Hello, I'm Curtis Bowers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. I really appreciate it. Wanted to welcome all the new subscribers that we've seen over the last couple months. Thank you so much for being a part of what we do. It's such a blessing to us, and we hope that Agenda Weekly will be a great blessing to you that saves you time so you have more time to act and do things to make a difference. Wanted to remind everybody, there's 155 previous episodes that you need to take advantage of if you haven't watched. And we've got the next couple months to do that. Starting in 2024, we're going to only have available the last 8 episodes. And so it gives you 2 months to watch each episode. But the memory on the computer systems and stuff to have all of them there is quite expensive. And the rates have gone up by some of those companies that host that for us. And we're like, okay, let's just do the last 8. So till year end, watch all of them that you would like, and that would be a great blessing. Those watching on Rumble, please like and follow. It's nice to be back home, as you can tell. We've been traveling for 2 months on and off. Going to be home for a little while now, so we're thankful for that. Today, I've got a very important episode. It's on the Second Amendment and why that matters so much. I know most of you are Second Amendment people, but I want to give you a lot of ammo and a lot of information to help you be able to communicate that to others where they understand it's not just, yeah, it's important, it's the most important thing. And we'll go through the reasons why and everything, but I think this will be very helpful and then something you can share with others to encourage them to stand boldly and courageously for the Second Amendment, not allowing it to ever be tampered with for any reason by any group of people or politician or constitutional convention or whatever. But we'll get into that today. Those watching on all the different platforms, please consider going to agendaweekly.com and become a subscriber there where you'll get all the information that we provide each week. But thank you so much for joining me. One news story I noticed this week that has tremendous significance to the direction we're heading as a country, and it really shows that they're completing the agenda that my movie talks about. But in Oregon now, anyone can get a high school diploma in the state's government schools without having to demonstrate any knowledge of even core subjects such as reading, writing, and arithmetic. Think about that. You don't have to be able to read, write, or do math to graduate. So what exactly are you doing there? And what's the purpose of it? The only 3 core things you need to learn how to do and to be really good at, to be successful in life, you don't have to have any understanding of those or be able to demonstrate the skills that you've figured those things out. Isn't that shocking? But it's really the logical conclusion of the dumbing down that's been happening for 100 years and the agenda. It just shows how successful they have been, where that's able to pass and be approved. Yeah, that's the new standards. No reading, no writing, no arithmetic. We're just going to teach you how to be a social activist and how to beg things from the government and demand of the other side silence and obedience. So anyway, that was shocking. Of course, in Israel right now, it's hard to keep up on all the things, but Israel is slowly rooting out the terrorists, trying to blow up the tunnels, trying to get control of their country, which they have a total right to do. I was reading with my family this week, Judges, the book of Judges, and you see in there that God commanded the people of Israel, when you go into this land that I am giving you, and that's their land, and they don't have near as much as they're supposed to. Again, as I've said before, it's the only land in the entire world we know for sure who owns it. And we know the exact boundaries of it. And we know that only Jews are supposed to live there and nobody else. God said, when you come into the land, I want you to remove these different people groups. Some of them, God said, I want you to kill all of them. Their punishment was finally coming from the hand of God through the Israeli people, but he said, eliminate them. Others, he said, drive them out of the land. I do not want them living amongst you, or there'll be a bad influence on you, and before long you'll be worshiping their idols and doing the wicked things that they do. And of course, they did not obey, And so they went into slavery over and over again, and then would repent and turn back to God, and he would deliver them. And that's, it's encouraging on one hand, because that's exactly where we are today in America. We've allowed the wicked and the heathen to come in, take control, where then the majority of our people are following along with them, thinking, yeah, everything's okay. God doesn't really matter. And so we're going into slavery. That's where we're heading. And that's where you always head when you disobey what God's told you to do. But it was amazing, because as I was reading it to my kids, we were talking about it. This is 3,000 years ago, and Israel was being attacked from Gaza in the book of Judges from 3,000 years ago. And I say, isn't that amazing? Nothing has changed. The Israeli government needs to remove every single person from their property. And they don't have to be uncivilized. They can buy their property from them and shuffle them to another country. But they're not going to do it. But that would bring the peace that they want. And the only thing that would. But God told them clearly to do that. He did not want them living amongst those people. And they're still suffering today because they didn't do that. The Israeli story also fits into what we're talking about today, though. Where if the citizens in Israel were armed and all of them had concealed carry permits, so many of these things that have happened wouldn't have happened. Yes, the rockets would have still been shot in and all that, but the people being kidnapped, the groups able to come in and just wreak havoc and then leave, they would have all been shot on sight the second they reared their head. What always happens when you disarm a citizenry, like over in Israel and Europe, it allows the people to be abused by their government. It allows the people to be abused by their enemies. It allows the people to be in the position of just being a sitting duck for anyone that is evil, anyone that has bad intentions, anyone that wants to hurt and to steal, to do those things. So it doesn't make sense for anyone. It's the greatest lie being pushed today in America. Because there's more mass shootings, we need to disarm the law-abiding American citizens. Think about that. What's the proper response to that? The proper response is, since mass shootings are escalating, and we realize more and more people are getting on pharmaceutical medications, which causes these things to be accelerating tremendously. Because of that, we need every law-abiding citizen to be required to have a concealed carry permit, to be required to carry a firearm at all times, to be required to know how to use it. That would be the logical answer to this problem, not the opposite, which they always push because their intentions are evil. No, we need to disarm everyone. So when the mass shooter starts shooting in the gun-free zone like they always do, no one will be able to stop them. That's the craziness of their logic. We even see those on the left calling for a constitutional convention, like Gavin Newsom this week, to adjust the Second Amendment. And I really want to talk about that because it's vital that we understand how dangerous this whole thing is. As I've said on here before, many people on our side have been pushing for a constitutional convention, and I've been totally against that from the beginning. I know there's some well-intentioned and good people behind it, so I'm not cutting down their purposes or their intentions, but I do not think it would be good for many reasons. Once you open up that can of worms, that it's okay to change the Constitution, it's okay to do different things with it, I think it's just dangerous. And now the other side, after our side for 25 years pushing to have a con, is realizing, yeah, that is a good thing. So George Soros and Gavin Newsom and many of those on the left are going, yeah, let's have one of those. And it's just bad news. And I know those of you that think it's a good idea, the reason it's not is because those in power could care less what the Constitution says. They don't care what it says. They're ignoring all the things that are crystal clear right now. So adding more things to it is not going to, oh, now they're going to obey it. They're not going to. If you put a balanced budget amendment in there, like we did in the state of Idaho, in our constitution there, they'll just go around it. They'll call the debt something else. That's what we did in Idaho. They said, oh, we're not allowed to go in debt. We have to balance the budget every year. So we're going to call it bonding. And we're going to borrow billions of dollars But it's not debt, it's bonding. And so they went into debt and ignored the balanced budget amendment. That's what happens with politicians. So if you think you're going to restrain them with more laws when there's someone that has been proven to be lawless, where they don't care what the law says, that's just naive. It's ignorant, and we shouldn't do that because it's not going to work. But if the other side is able to have a constitutional convention, I want to talk about that for a minute because it's important for us to understand. If you all haven't read recently the Declaration of Independence, it's not very long at all. If you haven't read that, you need to read that because it is the foundation of what America is. It's the document that makes America different than every other country in the world because it clearly states in there the rights that man has have been given to him by God and therefore cannot be infringed upon. Now, I know you know that, you've heard it so much it doesn't mean anything, but it's significant because that is the foundation that shows if they have a con-con, they can't take away our constitutional rights because the rights are not from the Constitution, the rights are from God. The Constitution simply puts out there for public notice, here's the obvious areas people have God-given rights, freedom of speech and religion and assembly and the press and the right to bear arms to protect their family, to protect their country, to protect their neighbor, and on and on it goes. Those were just all these obvious areas we have God-given rights. And we need to understand that because too many people on our side, I hear them talking about, well, we have the right to bear arms in the Constitution. You do not have the right to bear arms because of the Constitution. You have the right to bear arms because there is a God. We have to understand that. They can burn the Constitution. They can have a constitutional convention and take away all the amendments and say, no, you don't have a right to vote. You don't have a right to religion. And it doesn't mean, oh, we don't? Oh, okay. I don't have that anymore. No, it means they're usurpers. They are lawbreakers. They are no longer a just power. Because what does everyone do when they're elected? They swear on the Bible that they will uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And 99% of every elected official in America has broken that oath, which means they're not even a legitimate power. And we need to remember that. It's so fantastic the way the founders set this up. They set it up where if even 99% of the people in America wanted to change the Constitution and take away one of your God-given rights, it would be illegitimate because of what the Declaration laid out ahead of time as the foundation of America. These rights are inalienable, they're from God, and they cannot be infringed upon. They're not given by man, so he cannot adjust them. He cannot take them away. He cannot do anything. And the foundation of America is the only reason America is different. It's not freedom. We see many countries today that have some freedoms. They're not like America. It's because we knew, no, these rights are from God. And so because of that, I'm accountable to God for how I use my freedom, and all our founders understood that they acknowledge God as God, and they assume the people will fear and obey his commandments, and if they don't, as many of them said, then they will no longer be free, and they do not deserve to be free. They need to have a taskmaster. They need to have someone ruling over them if they're not going to rule themselves and be subject to God's laws. So we need to remember that. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. That's John Adams, the second president of the United States. We need to remember these things because it's so vital. If we get caught up in the left, right, and all this stuff and hyped up about the constitutional conventions or whatever it is, we are going to miss the boat and think the Constitution is everything. It's important because it lays out the most obvious God-given rights. But again, the rights are not from the Constitution. They're from God. And that's what makes America appear exceptional to the world. We're not exceptional, but we're blessed because we're the only nation in history that at its founding said to the God of the Bible, we want you to be our God. We're going to try to do things the way you said they should be done. And God said, okay, you're going to see how this goes when I'm blessing something. And it has been so blessed. There's some key points that we need to be aware of and make sure others understand in this battle that we're in, because things are changing so rapidly in America. I want to remind you, they have to get the guns to have world tyranny. They have to. And we study the 20th century and we see every country where they took the guns from the people, in very short order, the people started losing their freedoms. The people started being abused by their government. It was always the starting point. And usually the very start of doing that is, hey, we just want to register all the guns. And they know that, and they're working on that right now. We have a good video below where the ATF chief is talking, and you can hear very clearly what he says and what he doesn't say. That's what they're working on right now, even though they're not allowed to do that, but they're working on a national registry of collecting all the data to know who has the guns. And that is wrong for them to do that, but it's dangerous because once you know where the guns are, you know where to go get them, and that's what they're trying to do. They tell us one of the lies they tell us, and I heard Biden say this just recently, you don't need a 30-round clip for Bambi. No, you don't. But the 30-round clip is not for Bambi. The 30-round clip is for what the Declaration says is our right and our duty. It's for a tyrannical government. It's to take them on if they ever get to the point where they're coming against their own people, innocent people, patriotic people, then it's time to defend yourself. They said, that's why we want you to have anything the military has, we want you to be able to have so you can take them on. If our founders were still around today and morality was being upheld, they would allow the American citizen to have anything the military has. Hand grenades, tanks, whatever. They would want them to have that. Cannons, because they go, no, you need to be able to stop them if they ever try to turn you into slaves. As you read the Second Amendment in the Constitution, it uses the word, it's necessary for a free state for the people to be armed. So it's a necessary thing. You have to have it. If you don't have it, you will not be free. And so they understood that, obviously. We need to understand that. The day we give up our weapons is the day all the peoples of the world will be enslaved. We have to know that too. America is the only thing that's standing in the gap and keeping other governments from being totally tyrannical because they know America's still there. If we weren't here, China would be having opening firing squads, eliminating all opposition. They wouldn't be doing it just in the back rooms and through, you know, organ harvesting and the different things they're doing. It would be right out in the street where all their citizens would see you get lined up and a firing squad takes you out if you resist the government. That would be happening. But they realize, okay, that's not acceptable to America and Americans, and they're still a powerful country, so we'll just do it behind the scenes. Mao said, political power flows from the barrel of a gun. And our founders knew that. That's why they said, you must be armed. Because when the government is the only thing in society that has the arms, the political power will flow through the barrel and you will not be free very long. And Chairman Mao, for those that haven't studied history, he's the one that slaughtered between 60 and 80 million of his own people when he came to power. And that's why they want to disarm, and that's the only reason they want to disarm, so they can eliminate with no resistance anyone that doesn't do exactly what they say. And we saw that during COVID. We saw the mask come off, where different governors of different states and Trudeau in Canada, they started abusing the people because they felt like, oh, because of COVID, we're able to do this. And so they did do it. It showed they will do anything if they can get away with it, or if they feel like, oh, it's legitimate. They'll do anything. When you have an armed government, and we do, you have to have an armed people. Otherwise, there will be total abuse. Look what's happening today in America. Where even with our arms, we'll have people using excessive force. You know, you have 40 armed men with 5 or 6 armored vehicles coming to your house to arrest you because you protested at a Planned Parenthood place. I mean, it's excessive force. It's abusive. And that's why we still have the guns. That's why they're starting to militarize our local police. So even with our guns, it'll be overwhelming. When you look out the door, there's 5 tanks and then 30, 40, 50 men in full bulletproof armor coming against you, and you're there by yourself with your wife and children. That's what they're prone to do, and we need to stop that as well. We do not allow the police to become militarized. One of the podcasts we have below that you can listen to if you'd like is Paul Vaughn kind of telling the story of what happened and how their family's still in terror. Every time someone knocks at the door and shakes it, the kids get nervous and scared and wanting to run and hide because it was so traumatic to have people with guns aiming at your children come in your house when you're sitting there with your family. You haven't done anything at all. And they do that, but they're using excess force to create fear in us. So we'll do what they say. And I'm telling you, we can never do what they say. And we need to realize this is the battle they're setting up. They want this conflict to happen. The left believes man is naturally good when God tells us in the Bible, no, man is naturally evil. The newspaper every day shows us man is naturally evil. And it's the heart of man that's the problem. They think if you take the guns away, then the crime will disappear. It's the gun that's causing the crime. It's not the individual behind it and how wicked their heart is, filled with hate or whatever it might be. We know that if you can't change the heart, you can't stop the murder. You take the guns, then they use their Ford truck and drive down the sidewalk, like we've seen over in Europe. They took the guns from the people, then the Muslim, when he wants to kill, just goes 90 miles an hour down a sidewalk, taking out hundreds of people. Or you have much more uncivilized ways to do violence, like machetes. I remember watching a video once of this Muslim guy in London going down the road and using that, and it was one of the most horrible things I've ever seen in my life. They use bombs. They use knives. Knives are still one of the top weapons used for murder, even in America. You going to take all the knives? No. Poison, fire, etc. It's the heart of man that's the problem. They knew when they took God out of the schools and morality and his principles and the Ten Commandments, they knew once those go out, everyone will do what is right in his own eyes and this thing will start to collapse. That's why it was one of the communist goals. Get God out of the schools. Because then you'll raise up a generation that doesn't fear God. And then when they hate white people or they hate black people, or they'll act on that. And then the whole thing will start unraveling, which will give us more power. They thought through it that clearly. They know disarming is necessary for the new world order. They know America has to go. And to get America to go, it has to be disarmed. And the day that happens, that America falls, is the day you will have a one-world totalitarian government because no one else would resist it at all. There's nobody else that is even a fraction of the strength and the belief in freedom and the understanding of God-given rights and all that stuff. That's America. All the statistics clearly show, too, that like in the blue states, when you take away man's right to defend himself, to protect innocence, whatever, crime rates explode. Every city that has gun bans or restrictions are the highest crime rates in America and throughout the world. It's the same thing. Like down in Mexico, you can't own a gun. And they have crime rates that make what's going on in America look like a joke. And so it's something that, is, again, even in practice, you see it's a total lie. And the red states, where it's very friendly toward gun ownership by law-abiding citizens, crime rates are a fraction of what they are in the blue states. It's all a lie. Guns are not the problem. When we took God and all those principles out of the schools, we also replaced it with pornography, perversion, violent video games, satanic movies, the theory of evolution. that tells the young people, you're just an evolved animal. Well, for an animal to go kill another animal, that's not a big deal. That's fine. It's just the survival of the fittest. We've taught them that, though. And then when we get mad when they go kill someone, we're like, why would you get mad at that? That's what you train them to do. That's exactly who you designed them to be. And then as we see them creating the tension and division in our country, the rich and the poor, the blacks and the whites and everything, we see they're intentionally creating the conflict, taking morality out, taking kindness and all the biblical things out, and then replacing it with a hatred and always the victimhood mentality, where you're always, it's somebody else's fault. Every problem you have, it's because someone else did you dirty in some way. It's not because, no, you're lazy, or you need to get a job, or you need to start doing what you're told, or, you know, things like, it's never that. One of the things that's hardly ever addressed is the pharmaceutical issue I barely mentioned before, but the vast majority of all mass shooters were on prescription drugs. The recent shooting from a week ago, he was on prescription drugs, antidepressants and things. He'd just gotten out of an insane asylum and on pharmaceutical medications. And those things, the antidepressants and other things like Ritalin that they're drugging our little boys with and stuff, have been proven to make people very violent and suicidal. Several years ago, I have a lung issue, and a doctor put me on prednisone, which is just a steroid. And I was on that. He put me on a six-week prescription, which I look now at all the details of that as I've studied that. That's ridiculous. You don't do that. Maybe 5 or 6 days at the longest. But it totally changed me. I remember I started to get so angry at anything. I remember a guy doing something. I go, man, I ought to kill that guy, thinking that in my mind. And I'm not that kind of person. I'm calm and peaceful and trying to be gracious to people. And I remember talking to my wife. She goes, it's that stuff you're on. And I didn't see it as that. I go, no, that guy was mean. He shouldn't be doing that. I was seeing it as reality. This drug was hyping my mind up to just be angry. But I thought it was reality. No, I'm mad at him. It's just why I'm mad at him, or whatever it was, the different things. She goes, it's those pills. And I got off the pills. And sure enough, it took about a month or two for them to get out of my system, even when I was done taking them. And all of a sudden, I could see the world the way it really was again. And I'm like, oh my goodness. That's, you know, roid rage. They talk about the guys on steroids. It must be that, where some people, it affects them in that way, where you're just angry. I was just angry. I mean, it was just weird. And I always thought it was someone else's problem, not my problem. Thankfully, it was just a six-week period, and then I got off those, and I will never take them again, even if they're necessary to save my life. I'd rather go home and be with the Lord. But I realized then, boy, these medications have severe impact on different people in different ways, and they are drugging up a large percentage of the male population in America. So that alone, even without all the other issues we face, you're going to have these mass shootings regularly. It's important to point out to another proof that guns are not the problem is 100 years ago in America, a 10-year-old could buy a fully automatic machine gun with no ID through the Sears catalog, and we didn't have any mass shootings. We didn't have any school shootings. None. Zero. And so, again, it's not the guns are the issue. They never are. The left always tries to blame all our problems on something instead of someone. And that's, again, the fatal flaw in everything they do is they're off because they reject God. They reject the reality of how he told us the world operates and how desperately wicked man is. And so they get it wrong every time. Their solution to every problem always makes the problem worse. I've studied the last 100 years. Everything they've put forward as a solution to any problem, whatever it might be, has always made the problem worse because they are suicidal in their rebellion against God and don't realize he's given them over where they're going to be on a path that seems right, but it ends in death every single time. On a side note, it's funny, but I remember buying my first gun by myself at 10 years old. I was at a flea market, and I walked up, this neat little pistol, and I gave the guy the money, and he gave me the gun. And he probably, I don't know if he was even allowed to do that then or not, but he did. And that's in the 70s America, because he was like, this is a nice little kid. He's not going to do anything bad with that. But anyway, that's a memory I had that I've laughed with my mom and dad about, how that guy just allowed me to buy a gun at 10 years old. If you study the 20th century and all the countries that fell to tyranny, you'll see that they were disarmed most of the time beforehand. That was a careful strategy that the communists did. They'd come in and kind of get laws passed to disarm the people, and then they'd roll in and take it over. And usually the slaughter followed very closely, and you can get a list of those countries online and how many people were murdered after that happened. But it's something we need to remember, because that's what's going to happen here if we allow them to do that. I think America would have been taken over in the 1970s by the Soviets if we didn't have the arms that we had. The Soviets knew that Jimmy Carter would surrender instantly to them if they would have threatened him. But they knew, yeah, but the American people won't surrender. And I think that's the thing God used to spare us from being taken over by the Soviets, because they realized, yeah, this pathetic president will surrender. But there's 100 million Americans that are well-armed. They're not going to, and I don't think we can take them, so we better not. Our side doesn't talk about this point enough, but I think the single greatest factor we have in our national defense is our armed citizenry, far more deadly than our military. Yeah, our military has a lot of neat weapons and stuff, but it's down now to such low levels. I think China has about 10-to-1 soldiers compared to us and everything else, but the American people are the greatest single deterrent to another country attacking and trying to take us over. And so when they say, you don't need a 30-round clip for Bambi, say, no, we don't, but we need it maybe for you if you abuse your power, or if China tries to invade, or Russia, or some other country. That's why we need it. We need to be able to defend our homes and our families and those that cannot defend themselves. And we need to bring that up more often. I don't even hear the big gun organizations talking about that. So you can never disarm the American people in any way, shape, or form, or our country will be vulnerable to being taken over by a hostile nation. So they're working to create the crises and the excuse to disarm us as fast as they can. They're working to set up the registration right now and make that a mandatory thing. They're working to control the bullet purchases and manufacturing. I've read a lot of articles lately that they're starting to put such tough EPA regulations on the manufacturers, because they use lead and stuff, they're moving out of America. So you're not going to have any ammo made in America anymore, so we don't have access to it. That's some of the things they're doing. They're working on getting an ID on each bullet. Well, that's so we'll know who did the crime. No, it's so they'll know who owns the bullets, which means they own the gun that goes with the bullets, so we can get those. They are working on the famine that will cause us to rise up against ourselves. If they can create a famine, they know people, when they're hungry, will go steal food. And so that will create the conflict. They are actively working to get Americans to hate each other. We see that all the time. They're planting the seeds of civil war. They're stirring up different groups, especially the black community. They're trying to stir them up to hate white people, to think all their problems are because of white people. And so they're doing this, but it's all purposeful. They're trying to provoke enemy nations into striking America. Why are they poking Russia and Iran and China in the eye? Why are they doing it? Because they want us to be attacked. I know it sounds crazy. It's not. They want anything that creates the conditions where they can go door to door and get the arms. That's the last thing remaining between us and a boot on the back of our neck. And they know it. And so that's why I don't know what it'll be, but it will be something. And they will not give up on this quest to totally disarm us ever, because they have to jump through that hoop to get what they've been wanting to get for a long time. Do you remember during Hurricane Katrina what happened? Because of the crisis there, because of the flooding and all the things, our military went door to door and disarmed every single citizen in Louisiana there that was in that area. That's pretty sobering. They had no right to do that, of course, to leave you defenseless in your home then, as marauders were going around in little boats, robbing the homes that were underwater and stealing things. But we need to remember, that's modern day America. They had no right to do that. But they act like, because of a crisis, we do. Well, it's going to be the same thing next time. Because of a crisis, we do. And we need to say no. Yeah, they're working for conflict in America. That's why the border is open. And our enemies can freely come in, crossing the border. They're engineering a crisis. They're engineering civil war, collapse, a grid down situation. That's why they're not hardening our grid, when they know it's so vulnerable against our enemies, against terrorists, against anything. And they're like, no, it's all right. Even though it wouldn't cost hardly anything to harden it. They're engineering famine worldwide. We've talked about that many times. It's coming. It's already starting in many parts of the world, but you're not going to hear about it on the news, except that, you know, because of climate change, millions have died this year of famine. They're engineering world war, poverty, desperation, hopelessness. They're trying to get us to believe our resistance to their plans is useless. They're trying to demoralize us, which was one of the KGB's top plans for us. America is a gift from God to the world. One country that tried to do things God's way and has been blessed. Our efforts to turn her back to God are important. Preserving our God-given rights is a blessing to the whole world. Evil has come in to destroy. The establishment, Republicans and Democrats, have done everything they could for 100 years to destroy this nation. And amazingly, it's still barely afloat. We were all too busy to be bothered for the last 50 years as this was happening. But that must stop now. And I know many of you are awakening. And that's why you're part of what we're doing here. And that's why you're doing what you're doing. And that's wonderful. As we travel America, we're seeing all over groups of people that aren't just concerned, but they're starting to act. They're starting to make sacrifices, getting their kids out of the school, stop funding the enemy at the big box stores and the big banks and things. We see them actually willing to do those things. And when you see that action, when people are finally willing to sacrifice something, that's very encouraging. And it's all over. So be encouraged by that. But we need to be committed to standing for the biblical principles that made America great. We need to live out those principles, teach those principles to the next generation, and pray for God's help and mercy. We need it. Sharing the gospel right now, if you're a Christian, is so vital. People are looking for hope. And that's the greatest single hope we have. Because then we know, regardless of what happens, yeah, if we end up losing this fight, it's okay. I'm going to be in heaven forever, so I'm just going to stand for the truth right now. We need to do what I've encouraged you to do before in different episodes. We need to live not by lies. That means we need to be consistent in what we say and what we do. We cannot be silent any longer in the face of a lie. If someone speaks a lie, we need to say, "I'm sorry, but you're wrong. That's not true." And then teach them and tell them why they're wrong, or why that information they thought was true is not true. But we need to stand for it. When we're silent in the face of a lie, it makes other people believe we think that is true, because we're not speaking out against it. And so then it gives the lie more power and more influence. And we need to say no to that. The reality we face is America has become, our government, one of the most wicked countries in the world. We have killed 65 million of our own children. We've pressured other countries for the last 50 years to force abortion on their people. We've pushed pornography and homosexuality and all our Hollywood garbage to the world, which has been so destructive. And so we now need to try to create a little communities right where we are that are pleasing to God. Our country is long overdue for total destruction. And if God chose to do that, he's totally right in doing that. but he is also very long-suffering, as we see from the stories in the Bible, and we just need to please him right where we are. Our family should be a little oasis away from the world. We need to trust and obey God's commandments, be grateful for all the ways he has blessed us, be connected to like-minded people right where we are, and have local outlets for everything that we need. We need to just cut the chains of dependency off big government, big business, big finance, big everything, and pull it in close and local and come up with creative solutions where we can continue on speaking, living, and sharing the truth and raising the next generation. And we need to be busy about that daily. We need to start investing our time wisely. And then when they do come, we must resist. They have no authority to take away our God-given rights to defend ourselves, our neighbors, those that cannot defend themselves. This needs to be a line in the sand for everybody. And again, they do not have the just authority, even if they have a constitutional convention and remove the Second Amendment, that does not remove our right to do that. That's when we say, sorry, those were all articulated as God-given rights that cannot be infringed upon for any reason at any time, regardless of how many people want that to be done. If we're disarmed, people all over the world will be slaughtered overnight. We need to remember our neighbor. Stand for truth, disciple the next generation, love your neighbor, shine your light into the darkness, share the good news of the gospel, pray for wisdom. And like our founders used to have flags that said that, they waved these flags that said appeal to heaven, and that we need to appeal to heaven like they did. God, in your sovereignty and in your power and in your providence, would you allow us to take back the land for you and to once again live in a country that loves and fears you? And you never know what God will do and if he'll answer those prayers or not. But I know we're supposed to be faithful to do what he's commanded us to do, regardless of that. With all that's going on, I don't want you to be fearful, though. We can't do that. God hates when his people are fearful, because it's like we're not trusting in him. And when the people of Israel started to be fearful of their enemies, God got very angry at that. So we're not supposed to do that, because we know God is ultimately in charge. We just need to make sure that we are doing what he's asked us to do, and then pray for mercy, because he is so loving and long-suffering, he might choose to answer our prayers in that way. But the verse for this week is Proverbs 29:25. It's a very important one. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. So important. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Yeah, causes you to overreact or whatever. Oh, I'm so scared. I don't know what to do. No, God said, don't do that. Be strong and of a good courage. But whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Just know he's going to take care of you in the midst of whatever circumstances we find ourselves in. As I've studied the Soviet Union and all these other communist countries and met so many people that lived in them and grew up in them, they said, yeah, we were fearful of the government, but our parents taught us, no, we're going to fear God and we're still going to obey him even in the midst of this tyranny. And they did. And it's really encouraging to hear their stories. But we need to remember that and not allow that fear to creep in and cause us to make poor decisions or to not be trusting in God. I appreciate you greatly. Thank you so much for being a part of what we do. And until next week, God bless you.